Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth. Live from the KATH 910 AM studios in Las Colinas and broadcasting across North Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network, this is the Good News Show.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Good News Show on this beautiful June 2nd, 2025. We are in June. It is summer and we have lost air conditioning here at our office, but that's okay. You know, it's a little toasty. I like to say it's how people lived for 99.999% of the history of humanity. So we can deal with this. I'm so excited for this show, and I have John Cuccaro, the Director of Communication for the Fort Worth Diocese, and also Bill Kula, Director of Communication for the Catholic Foundation, to thank for these two segments. And I've been really looking forward to this first one, which we'll start here in about 5 minutes, because Oscar Ortiz, who serves as the head of school at Nolan Catholic High School in Fort Worth, is here to talk about something that I know you've heard about, and especially if you have children in grade school or high school, and especially if you're either considering Catholic schools or, you know, maybe already have kids in Catholic schools. And what I'm talking about is what's called SB 2, Senate Bill 2, which passed in the House and Senate of Texas in March and was signed into law May 3rd by Governor Abbott. Okay, this is the Texas Education Freedom Act, establishing an education savings account, otherwise known as an ESA, for Texas, allowing eligible students to use public funds for private education expenses. Okay, so Oscar is the expert on this. He's the one that's heading this up for the Fort Worth Diocese, and he is in studio. So we're going to introduce him formally here in just a moment. And then in the second half of the show, thanks to Bill Kula from the Catholic Foundation, we are going to have our annual conversation about the Art on the Plaza competition, sponsored by the Catholic Foundation. This is very exciting because some local artist can win $5,000. And to me, that's the second biggest benefit, because the biggest benefit is that your art will be displayed right north of the National Shrine of Our Lady Guadalupe in downtown Dallas, and for a full year, 28-by-9-foot wall in the Catholic Foundation Plaza. So I have in studio joining me for the second half of the program two of the judges, including Jennifer Staubach Gates and also Grania Cella. And last year's winner, her art is still displayed through October, and her name is Lori Kusick, and her art was called Grateful Heart at Earth Sunrise. And so they will be joining me about 12:35 or so. So this is a great show. I'm really excited about it. Before that, though, I want to bring Cecil Anderson into the conversation and talk about a couple things very important related to Guadalupe Radio Network. And the first begins in less than a week, 7 o'clock next Monday morning. I say that as if it's like some kind of burden, but I actually look forward to these once they get started. It's the Summer Share-a-thon beginning next Monday, June 9th. Okay, ready or not, here it comes, with a theme of conversations with God. And Cecil, obviously, we want to encourage everybody to call in and donate and make as big of a donation they can so we can continue to bring great Catholic programming. But we also are hosting the call center a couple of days, Monday afternoon and then also Thursday. Mm-hmm. Well, how are we doing on that? Do you need volunteers? Do you need meals?
I still need some volunteers and meals. First off, a week from today on Monday, the 2nd in the afternoon, we still have a couple of spots open from 1 to 7 p.m., so you'll get dinner included with that. So if you're available to come here to our studio in Las Colinas from 1 to 7, we would appreciate it. And then Thursday morning, that's Thursday the 12th at from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m., I'm still looking for some volunteers. The Thursday afternoon shift has been extremely popular, and I've actually had to say no to a few people and see if they can move to the morning shift or the Monday shift.
But would you like
one of the other ones? And I'm still looking for about two meals to be covered for, we have four meals that we have overall for our volunteers. So if you're able to do that, you can go ahead and email Dave and I at kath@grnonline.com and just let us know what you're able to do. And I'm usually able to work with people's schedules. So if you need to leave a little bit early, come a little bit late, we can usually make it work.
They still get food if they leave early?
It depends on how much money they personally raised.
Right. Okay. Well, thanks, Cecil. And the theme is Conversations with God. I always marvel. I think it's really Toya Hall, our COO, who comes up with these themes along with Sean Rice, our VP. But it just seems like every time, we did the, Talking Heaven one, and it always seems to be a cool theme. So Conversations with God, which relates to prayer, will be the theme. And again, begins next Monday, 7 o'clock. It'll be Monday through Friday. It used to be 4-day share-a-thons, but we enjoyed them so much, we begged that they would add an extra day. So now we start them on Monday. The other thing I want to talk about real quickly is the 25th anniversary celebration, which I've never said this before on the air, is next month.
Oh, okay? My.
I've always said, oh, it's a few months away, Next month, July 19th at the Plano Event Center. And I've also been saying, register, because there will come a time sooner than you think when we say, you know what, registrations are closed. And we're probably maybe a week away from that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're within probably fewer than 100 people can register now. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, I would say so. We are very, very close, and we're going to be, confirming that everyone who has signed up can come, but we're probably going to have to shut down registrations very soon.
Yeah, we had a meeting last Wednesday, and I think at that time, we can have about 1,900 people there. And I think the total registrations were in the 1700s, maybe close to 1800s. So it's getting really, really tight. So if you want to go and you thought, it's not going to sell out. It's a free event. It's not going to sell out, so to speak. But by all means, get to that website, grnonline.com/anniversary, and register. Father Chris Alar is going to be there. Deacon Harold Brooks Sivers. There's going to be a Matt Marr concert. And what else? Debbie and Jerry
Relics.
And Adam. Relics. Mm-hmm. The most important thing is Mass and, of course, Adoration, our Lord in Adoration. There's going to be a lot going on. And so do not miss out on it. And if you've already registered, you'll probably get an email saying, are you still coming? Are you still bringing as many people as you said? So expect that email. And also, we're looking for volunteers for that as well. If you want to be a volunteer for that event, you can email me directly, DavePalmer@grnonline.com. Anything else, Cecil?
No, just please pray for our share-a-thon, and if you're able to volunteer, let us know.
All right, so let's, with no further ado, get on with our first conversations. I mentioned the head of school at Nolan Catholic High School, it's Oscar Ortiz. And Nolan's website, nolancatholic.org, it's a ministry of the Diocese of Fort Worth providing a college preparatory education and evangelizing students to be tomorrow's servant leaders through education and faith, formation and hope, perseverance in charity. So Oscar Ortiz, welcome, and thank you for being here.
Thank you so much, Dave. When was the last time I was here? I think it was 3 years ago.
Yeah, I think it was at our other studio, because I remember sitting across from you, but it wasn't this room.
That's
and
correct.
I think there was air conditioning.
Yes, and we were talking about Nolan Catholic at the time and classical education.
Yes.
And today I bring in a different subject that I'd love to discuss with you, which is SB2 and ESAs.
Yeah, so just by way of just a reminder, as I mentioned this before, Senate Bill 2 passed in March, was signed early the first week of May by Governor Abbott, Texas Education Freedom Act establishing an education savings account or ESA program in Texas, allowing eligible students to use public funds for private education expenses. This is very exciting. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned to you a moment ago, I thought it was interesting that the House passed it on March 17th, mm-hmm. the Senate on March 19th, and those are two really important feast days in the Catholic Church, mm-hmm. with Patrick and Joseph represented on those 2 days. So I never think anything's a coincidence.
Well, you could say it's an answer to a lot of prayer from several of our families, several of our teachers and educators. This is a momentous or a historic time in the educational history of Texas.
Yeah,
when we're giving families the opportunity or the freedom to be able to choose for themselves what's best for their children.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly, as you're right, it's not a coincidence.
And a long time in coming, because it's like the overturn of Roe v. Wade. It's like we've been, talking and praying about this for a long time. I never actually thought either of those were going to happen. But mm-hmm. now, this one has happened. Thanks be to God. And thanks mm-hmm. to the governor signing it into law as well. So before we get into that, let's talk more broadly about Catholic education. I know you are a product and you have been educated in Catholic schools. What's the point? What's the advantage of parents parents sending their kids to a Catholic school?
So, Dave, I have been a school leader for about 13 years, and I can tell you that parents are looking for more than just a school that wants, that cares about test scores. Parents are looking for a school that's going to be aligned with their vision or their values, that is mission-driven, and that focuses on the whole person. Again, not just focusing on can we get through college, but can we create an educational experience that will give our students the ability to flourish as adults? That's what we do as Catholic schools. We are mission-oriented, and we focus on the whole student, the whole person. So although academics is extremely important for us, it's one of our four pillars, we care for the character development of our students as well as their leadership skills. So we focus on the mind, the heart, the soul, and the body. Mm-hmm. So for parents who are listening and are looking for a different educational option, I highly encourage that they look into a Catholic school. Because, again, we're not just focused on can they pass the STAR test, but can they become good and flourishing human beings even after college, but for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm. I remember doing a live broadcast a couple of years ago from your office there mm-hmm. at Nolan, and walking the halls and seeing the artwork and the crucifixes and talking to the students. Mm-hmm. And it's just a whole different experience. Not that I have to tell you that, but you've been in the midst of it. Mm-hmm. Just kind of a question about your time, you know, as head of school of Nolan Catholic High School. And what has been the biggest takeaway as far as you at that school in particular and what you've seen that has impressed you?
Well, being a part of a community that really cares about the same things. So I've been doing this for 13 years, as I mentioned earlier, different schools. Most of them have been secular public schools, charter schools. So although education brings us together and we can share that we're united in that front, mm-hmm. when it comes to Catholic schools, there's more that we're united as a team. So the faith, for example, being able to provide our students the Eucharist, being able to provide those opportunities for worship and prayer, being able to address and answer questions from a faith-based point of view, those are unique. You're not going to find that anywhere else. So that is what makes Catholic education just so beautiful and something so attractive to a lot of our families.
And how many Catholic schools are in the Diocese of Dallas? I think of Nolan, you know, obviously that's the big high school. You've got Quesada, which is a more specialized school, and mm-hmm. lots of great schools as well. What is the number, and how are they distributed geographically?
We have 17 schools in the Diocese of Fort Worth. 13 of those schools are going to serve pre-K through 8th grade families. One of our schools, all the way up in Wichita Falls, is a pre-K through 12th grade. And we have three outstanding high schools. You mentioned two, Nolan Catholic and Quesada. We also work with Cristo Rey, which is one of the...
That's right.
The
other, I forgot about that one. Yeah.
That's right. So all 17 schools are committed to the full formation of our students, not just academically, but also character and leadership. And they just... outstanding education, perform, you know, their performance is fantastic. So mm-hmm. I would recommend that our families visit our website so they can look and explore at each individual school.
Oscar Ortiz, head of school at Nolan Catholic High School. Again, you can visit their website, nolancatholic.org, nolancatholic.org. And the SB2, we're going to talk about. I did a little bit of research, and I know you can add a whole lot of information mm-hmm. about this. I already said a couple of times about some of the details of it being passed. It, according to my quick research, there's about a billion dollars mm-hmm. that's going to be available. Correct. And that's actually a low number. It's going to go up in the future, mm-hmm. right? It's for accredited private schools. It could include not only tuition, but textbooks, tutoring, other approved expenses, and mm-hmm. it's going to begin in the fall of 2026, right? Mm-hmm. Is that right? Yeah. The 2026, 2027. So beyond that, what I've already said, what can you tell us about SB2 and the ESA and what it's going to mean for North Texas Catholics?
So the Diocese of Fort Worth, we recognize that there's going to be a lot of questions, there's going to be a lot of doubts about the SB2 bill and the ESAs that our families are going to have. So as a result, we have created what's called the Camino Initiative. Now, Camino is Spanish for pathway, Dave, which to us, it expresses what we'd like to do as a Catholic Church is to walk alongside our families as they make these very important, momentous choices for their children regarding education. So Camino is going to be offering our families workshops, one-to-one guidance, digital and print brochures, information and training so that our families, our pastors, as well as our principals know exactly how to guide families to how to apply, when to apply, do I qualify for the ESA? All those questions, our hope is to be able to answer those. We don't just want to react to this opportunity, but we want to be leading the way when it comes to the new educational savings accounts that you just mentioned.
So here we are, June 2025. Obviously, school for the fall 2025 will be starting up here in a few months. I know we just got out of the spring, but yes. You know, we're looking ahead. This doesn't apply for that. So somebody listening right now, and they're thinking, okay, I want to jump on this. Yes. What should they know right now? Is there anything they can do right now other than listen to the radio and hear you be interviewed and get these details? But what should they be doing now?
Absolutely. So I recommend we as Camino, we're going to have a website up in 2 weeks, and we're going to have some social media that our families will have access to. But in the meantime, I recommend that they go to our diocese Catholic schools website, which is Catholic Schools FW for Fort Worth, DIOC.org. Once again, it's Catholic Schools FW for Fort Worth, DIOC.org, where they can look at all 17 of our schools and also look at links, visit each one of them. I recommend that they sign up for tours, that they sign up to meet with the school leaders. They're prepared to receive them and host them on campus. Now, the application window specifically for the ESA is going to be January. We're still waiting on some more details from the state as to the exact date. But for now, what we know is that January of 2026, the window opens. And Camino is going to be poised to help families and guide them by the hand and how to apply for the ESA.
And I'm very impressed because this is not sneaking up on you guys. I mean, you are, this was just, you know, signed less than a month ago by Governor Abbott, and you guys are on it, you
That's
know,
right.
and you're the head of it. And so, like you said, you've got over a decade of experience in education at different levels. And so you are the right guy for the job. Oscar Ortiz, head of schools at Nolan Catholic High School. Again, if you want to learn about Nolan Catholic High School, you can go to nolancatholic.org. The general website that Oscar just mentioned, CatholicSchoolsFWDIOC.org.
That's correct.
Okay, CatholicSchoolsFWDIOC.org, and all the resources will be there. And let's see, what else as far as eligibility? Because somebody may say, "Oh, I know we make too much money, or you know, we do this or that." How are people going to find out whether or not they're eligible, and what will those requirements be?
Yeah, I still strongly recommend that all of our families that are listening, those who are currently in Catholic school and those who are considering taking advantage of this opportunity to apply. I think everyone should apply. This is good just for the state to see the interest, the level of interest that our families have. There are four categories, however, of prioritization. So the state will prioritize based on these four categories, starting with category one, which is children with disabilities. So those are going to be children who fall within a bracket of, let's say, beneath $160,000 for a family of four. That's priority number one. Priority number two is
Is disability intellectual as well as physical? Do you know what does disability encompass?
Yes. So what our families are going to have to do is they're going to have to go to their public school, the public school closest to them, and they're going to have to apply for or go through a diagnostic, which it's called a diagnostic. So to qualify for special education, that's what they're going to then need to be able to show whether their child falls under the bracket of special education or has a disability. Mm-hmm. Hopefully does that answer your question, Dave?
I have a son with autism, so I'm just thinking, is that a disability that could qualify?
Correct,
so it was a little personal there, but my asking that question. So anyway, so you were listing the other the way they're going to prioritize.
That's right. So the second category or level of priority is low-income families. So that's going to be you know, any family that falls underneath $65,000, to just to give you kind of an approximate. The third priority is our middle class family. So anyone between $65,000 and $160,000 should be applying. And then the last bracket is for anyone who makes above the poverty line, federal poverty line, which is, that's $160,000 and above.
Mm-hmm.
Now that is going to be a very limited amount. It's only about 20% of the $1 billion that you just mentioned. And given the level of interest that we're seeing here, there might not be any funds left by the time all of our families have applied. But those are the four brackets, and our families who are listening should go. I probably fall within one of those brackets. I recommend everyone should apply so that they're most likely to know where they are in line and whether they qualify or not.
And when you say everybody should apply, didn't you say that won't be until January of 2000? Right. So right now, there's nothing they can do other than go to your website and see resources as they become available. And you're also going to have some, like you mentioned, some in-person information and meetings and things like that. You're going to be very busy these next 6 months.
Absolutely.
So you mentioned about the response. Are you guys already getting a lot of calls about this? What has been the initial response so far after Governor Abbott signed this on May 3rd?
A lot of calls, a lot of emails, texts, people reaching out and asking, when can I apply? How do I qualify? There's a lot of misinformation out there as well. So I do recommend that our listeners are going to sources that are approved. So again, visit our website, because we'll have there everything that they need in order to guide them. Ultimately, we want to also open up a call line so that if they have any questions, we can answer those questions one-on-one, which is going to be happening sometime in the future. So yes, it's a lot of interest, Dave, and we've had to do very little marketing for it. We're already getting a lot of calling.
Well, I appreciate you coming on and being a guest on this show. So you may not be able to answer this because this is more the nitty gritty, but you know, some people say Catholic school education is just beyond me. I just can't pay that tuition. And, you know, I know different tuitions at different levels, but can people expect a good portion of their tuition to be covered by this? Do you have any kind of, you know, estimate? It might cover half of it or three quarters, or is that even a fair question? Or what can people expect as far as the total tuition? How much would be covered by this?
That's a great question. So for our Catholic schools specifically, this would cover up almost 98% of all of our K-8 schools that we have in the Diocese of Fort Worth. So on average, our schools are charging $10,000 for tuition. Now, for schools that go above that, which isn't significantly above that, we as a Catholic, at Catholic schools, already have pretty robust tuition assistance help that we offer our families to help close that gap in cases where there are families where that gap still needs to be closed. So again, I don't want this to discourage any families who are listening. This will make it a possibility for our families to be able to finally send their kids to Catholic school if that's something that they so desire.
Mm-hmm. And if they receive something, this kind of aid, there could also be additional funding from other outside sources, which could, I mean, obviously this is going to help a lot. The one question that comes to my mind is, the Catholic schools are, do you have any kind of, I guess, anticipation of how big this is going to be for Catholic schools as far as maybe a grade school that has 250 students? Are we looking at doubling, or is that, I mean, what do you have any idea of what impact this is going to have on Catholic schools, which is going to have to do with hiring new teachers? And I mean, there's going to be a whole lot of changes. How big is this going to be in the first year, do you expect?
Yeah, so we our goal is to fill our seats by this first round. But we anticipate this to be just a very significant change in how, in the layout of education, Catholic education here in the Diocese of Fort Worth. We're working with, several of dioceses out in Florida who've already been doing this for many years. And we're getting just some guidance and insight from superintendents out in Florida. Venice, Florida is one of them, for example, where they have already experienced this boost in enrollment. They have seen the amount of families who are interested, and the growth there, the boom that they have experienced in Catholic education is just beautiful to see. So we're working with them so that we can be better prepared, whether we have to increase our, you know, campus size, make some facilities changes, hire new teachers. All of that is in the works through Camino.
Mm-hmm. And if somebody is already in a Catholic school, will they be able to apply, or is this only for students, parents who are not currently in Catholic schools?
Well, this is a great question because I can't stress this enough. Everyone should apply, those who are currently in our Catholic schools as well as those who are considering being part of a Catholic school. Everyone should apply. This is an opportunity for all of our families.
All right. Oscar Ortiz is my guest, head of school for Nolan Catholic High School. This is a conversation I've been so excited and eager about because I know, like you say, there's so much interest in this. You're getting the text. You're getting the phone calls about this. And we just have a few minutes remaining. I want to just, once I give some basic information here, Oscar, just say, hey, what else do you think people need to know? Because I may not have asked all the questions that are pertinent to this, especially how important it is. But this is a conversation about the passage of Senate Bill 2, which was signed into law May 3rd by Governor Greg Abbott for the state of Texas. It's the Texas Education Freedom Act, establishing an ESA, an education savings account program in Texas, allowing eligible students to use public funds for private education expenses. All the information in the Fort Worth Diocese, at least, is CatholicSchoolsFWDIOC.org, CatholicSchoolsFWDIOC.org. So, okay, we've got a few minutes remaining. What else should people know?
One of the questions that we get often, Dave, is will the involvement of the state mean that the Catholic school is going to have to change its mission or not be as faithful to the principles that make us a Catholic school? And the answer is that the bill, the way that it's written, and the reason why our bishops really supported this bill is that it protects Catholic schools, and it protects not just Catholic schools, but any faith-based school that does not want to or does not want to see their mission diluted. Mm-hmm. So that's a beautiful thing. I think our families need to hear that, need to be confident that when they're sending their child to a Catholic school, they'll be sending them to a genuinely Catholic and committed school that is not going to compromise on their convictions. And that's very important for all of our families to hear.
I wish I had thought of that question because that was a great one. I'm glad. That's why I like to add things in
okay.
At the end. Because people may say that, as soon as you get the secular government involved, everything's going to get watered down. But obviously, that's not going to be the case. And let's just close out the most important things that people need to know. Obviously, this is the sign up is January of 2026, but they need a whole lot of preparation in advance of this. You're going to be adding things to the website. As far as your in-person meetings, do you have any idea when those will begin or any of them already scheduled?
So they're not scheduled yet, but I do know they're going to start in the fall. So make sure that you follow us online, follow us at the Instagram account that we're going to be creating, follow us on our website, sign up for the newsletter. We'll be sending out regular updates on where we're meeting and at what time. Those are going to be starting very likely in September of this year. So I just want to encourage all of our listeners that this is just the beginning of an exciting journey that we're going to be taking together, and we're here to lead them all the way to their application day, which is January 2026.
Yeah, and I don't have to tell you this, but you got your work cut out for you these next few months.
That's
it seems
right.
Like you're really excited about this, but this is kind of new. You mentioned the district in Florida mm-hmm. that has already done this, and this makes a lot of sense. You know, why reinvent the wheel if, mm-hmm. if a Catholic school district has already deal with it? Do you know off the top of your head how, if there are other parts of the country where this has passed other than Florida, or is this kind of a new experiment nationwide?
Well, yes and no. So there are, the way that the SB2 is written is unique. It's not a complete copy and paste from other places. So that is going to create a little bit of newness for us and having to explore and think outside of the box. But in the aspect of how did this impact Catholic schools, we don't have to reinvent the wheel there. That's mm-hmm. why we're reaching out to Florida to get some more information.
Right, right. Is just thinking from the pragmatic standpoint, if you know a new governor gets elected, and maybe this governor is not of the same persuasion as Governor Abbott, 5 or 10 years from now, could this be taken away? Is there any kind of this is going to be the law for a while, or is there any guarantee for that?
My understanding is that this is permanent, Dave. I'll have to do some more research on it just to make sure that I am. Okay. giving you accurate information.
Yeah, yeah, and I know.
I know, as I've read the bill multiple times, that if a family signs up, say in 2026, the commitment is for that full year. So there won't be any mid-year pulling funds or anything. So our families can be confident and rest assured that that won't be happening.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is very exciting. And as you mentioned, an answer to prayer. And a lot of people I know were praying for this. And Catholic Schools, FWDIOC.org. If they go there right now, what's on that website?
They will be able to see all 17 of our schools, their location, how long have they been open. And I do want to point that out, Dave, because our schools have been open for more than, well, several decades, several of our schools. So this indicates, and it should give our families the assurance that what we're offering is a high quality education that is tried and true. It's not something that just opened last year with teachers that were just hired last year. We have, again, a veteran crew that's there to offer families an excellent education.
All right, very good. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate this, and I don't think it's going to be our last interview on this. This is so important that I hope maybe in a couple of months we can do it again, certainly in January, because that's when people need to, you know.
Absolutely.
And like we said, by that time, it shouldn't be when they're hearing about it for the first time, but clearly the Fort Worth Diocese is doing a lot to prepare people, and I have not checked into the Dallas Diocese, but I'm sure they are doing something similar, and I will check into that as well. Oscar, I really appreciate it, and we're out of time, but I think you would agree the most important thing for people to do right now is go to that website, CatholicSchoolsFWDIOC.org, and continue to check back and find out when these meetings are going to be and just keep up to date so that January 2026, of course, it'll be in a flash and they won't get caught blinded because you guys are doing your work ahead
of time.
That's
correct. That's correct. Thank you so much, Dave, for your time.
Thanks so much. And again, thanks, John Cucaro, the Director of Community for the Fort Worth Diocese for setting this up. And again, you'll continue to hear about this as the months progress, as we get closer to January of 2026. All right, we're going to take a 3-minute break, but don't go anywhere, because when we come back, I'm going to have a full studio of wonderful ladies talking about the 20th annual Art on the Plaza competition, sponsored by the Catholic Foundation. CatholicFoundation.com is the website. If you were an artist, how would you like to win $5,000 and also have your art displayed in the Catholic Foundation Plaza between the Meyerson Symphony Hall and the National Shrine of Our Lady Guadalupe? That's what's at stake. And we're going to talk to last year's winner. She's in studio along with a couple of the judges. So, quick break. Well, 3 minutes, not that quick, but we'll be back with these ladies coming up right after this. The Guadalupe Radio Network has kept the promise for 25 years. In the year 2000, we made a promise to protect the sanctity of life from conception to natural death. We've kept that promise by consistently promoting pro-life apostolates in all the dioceses where the GRN is heard. The Guadalupe Radio Network's Keeping the Promise 25th Anniversary Celebration will be Saturday, July 19th at the Plano Event Center in North Texas.
The Guadalupe Radio Network thanks Little Elm Eye Care for their support of local Catholic radio. Little Elm Eye Care is owned by Drs. Bert and Leslie Bubella, parishioners of St. Francis of Assisi Parish in Frisco. They specialize in family vision care, comprehensive eye exams, contact lenses, and the treatment of eye diseases and injuries. Little Elm Eye Care is located at 1200 East El Dorado Parkway, Suite 100, across from the Little Elm Athletic Complex. They can be reached by calling 972-292-0900 or on the web at littleelmeyecare.com.
Join us in praying an Our Father for the intentions of the Holy Father, our bishops and clergy, and those of religious life. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. We pray for all your intentions daily. May God bless you.
Is your facility in need of additional meeting or classroom space, but there's no room in the budget to add on to the building? I'm Glenn Trahan, owner of Modern Fold Door and Specialties and proud sponsor of KATH 910 AM. Modern Fold Door and Specialties can solve your space division problems by installing operable walls to create additional spaces. We also provide repair and service. You can contact us at 214-357-2572 for a free consultation or trwfamily.com. God bless.
Encounter Christ in a more personal and transformative way at an upcoming Saturday of Reflection Retreat.
The Saturday of Reflection Retreat will take place on Saturday, June 7th from 9 a.m. until noon at the Montserrat Jesuit Retreat House in Lake Dallas. Learn how to practice the Ignatian method of imaginative prayer. Allow St. Ignatius to lead you into the scenes of the gospel using your imagination. For more information or to register, visit montserratretreat.org.
This is Tony Becerra. My wife Chris and I own Babich & Associates. We are the oldest placement and recruitment firm in the state of Texas and proud sponsors of the Guadalupe Radio Network. We are also members of St. Thomas Aquinas in Dallas. Babich & Associates offers candidates insights into the current job market and provides professional candidates we have interviewed on a face-to-face basis to our employers. Our number to call is 214-823-9999, or you can find us on the web at Babich, B-A-B-I-C-H, .com.
Welcome back to the Good News Show here on the Guadalupe Radio Network on this June 2nd, on this toasty June day here in the studio where AC went out. But you know what? We're going to make it. And I want to thank again Bill Kula, who is Director of Communications for the Catholic Foundation. He not only sets up some of my best interviews, but he prepares me so well and gives so much good information. I think a trained monkey could do this interview with Bill Kula behind the scenes, but I am thankful to him and also for the Catholic Foundation. They are located at catholicfoundation.com. And I have really enjoyed not only doing interviews in advance of this Art in the Plaza competition, but also being out there when they announce the winner and seeing the artwork on display. And it's so exciting. So this is kind of a multi-stage promotion. And so what it is if you are an artist aged 18 and or older living in Texas, you're invited to plan ahead and consider entering the 20th annual Art on the Plaza competition sponsored by the Catholic Foundation. The 2025 competition theme is Expression of Harmony, and this year's submission guidelines are listed on their website, which is catholicfoundation.com. And I'm joined in studio with the winner from last year. The 2024 winner is Lori Kusick, and she had and has her art displayed on a 28-by-9-foot wall in the Catholic Foundation Plaza in the Dallas Arts District for a whole year. And this is right between the National Shrine and the Meyerson Symphony Center. And so this is a really, really cool. So she's here, and we're going to introduce her a little more formally in just a moment. She also won $5,000, and the winner this year will receive the same. Runner-ups can get $500. And all the rules are on the website, so I won't go into all of that, but the deadline is important. It's Wednesday, September 10th of this year, and you have to drop off your art at the Catholic Foundation office, and you can see all that kind of thing as well. By the way, Lori's artwork from last year is called Grateful Heart at Earth Sunrise, and it is on display. And I can only imagine having artwork on display in downtown Dallas, one of the biggest cities of the country. So that's some of the details. The art has to be 28 inches long by 9 2/3 inches high, and you write a resume, but we'll cover all this. So I want to introduce our three in-studio guests, and I'm so grateful because they're all accomplished professionals, and each of them has, needless to say, a strong passion for the arts. Our first guest is Jennifer Staubach Gates. She served 4 terms as a Dallas City Council member representing District 13 and served on multiple committees as a council member. Jennifer is a former trustee of the Catholic Foundation as well as a committee member at the DEET, which is the Diocesan Education Endowment Trust, She's also a member of the Dallas Zoo Board of Directors, the board chair for Ursuline Academy of Dallas, and a board member of the Dallas Holocaust and Human Rights Museum, among many other things. So she is a very, very busy lady. So welcome, Jennifer. Nice to meet you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, good to have you here. And next is Grania Cella. If nothing else, she's got a great name. Grania Cella. She says I can call her G, but I think I'll be a little more formal than that. She earned a master's in art history and bachelor's in art history and philosophy with honors from the University College of Dublin in Ireland. She's an Irish person, and I love Irish people because I'm married to one. When she moved to Dallas, she served as a docent at the Dallas Museum of Art and always enjoyed the winning Art on the Plaza displays. Grania is a volunteer for the Society of St. Vincent de Paul, and she heard about the competition 3 years ago. She entered herself and met the team and fell in love with the Catholic Foundation before being invited to be a volunteer judge. So can we hear that beautiful Irish accent, Grania?
Top of the morning to you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, good. And you still have your accent. That's good. Well, great to meet you, and thank you for being here and for being a judge. And as I mentioned also, we have in studio the reigning winning artist of the Art in the Plaza competition from last year, and her art is called Grateful Heart at Earth Sunrise, which can be seen at the Catholic Foundation Plaza, located between the Meyerson Symphony Center and the National Shrine Cathedral of Our Lady Guadalupe. It's on the corner of Florida and Crockett Streets in the heart of the Dallas Arts District, and her name is Lori Kusick from Dallas. So, Lori, welcome. Thanks for being here.
No, thank you for having me.
I think Bill pointed this out. I think this is the first time that I've actually interviewed a former winner along with judges. And so this is really a great opportunity. So I'm so excited about this. Well, let me start with you, Lori. And after winning last year, you said, and I quote, "It begins with an internal spark, the creative gift I'm blessed with, allowing me to create art inspired by nature." So I want to, first of all, may have you comment on that quote, but also just talk about why you entered, how many times you've been in this competition, and your thoughts, you know, when you found out that you won last year. I know that's a lot, but go ahead and just tell us a little bit about yourself.
I've entered it, I think, the last 5 or 6 years. Mm. A friend, I found out about it at the same time a friend told me about it. And when I researched it and went down to the plaza to see, and at that point they had visuals of all the past ones, now they have it online. I was surprised at the quality of the fine art and the diversity that they showed in medium and also in the visuals, the way people had solved the solution of the theme for that year. So I was very intrigued by it, and it's such an honor to win it. I get overwhelmed every time I step into mm-hmm. it.
Yeah,
when I walk up those stairs and see it.
It is kind of surreal, isn't it?
It really is.
I bet when you have people in town visiting, say, "Hey, I want to bring you somewhere, okay?" And also, we can get to this, but it's going to be a little sad because obviously it's going to last for a little bit longer. Well, a few more months, and then it'll be replaced by another one as well. So that the quote that I mentioned, it begins with an internal spark, a creative gift I'm blessed with. What was that spark, and what was your inspiration in the piece of art that's there now?
Well, the theme of gratitude, I really spent a lot of time thinking about it. You know, what am I grateful for, and where does gratitude actually come from? And one of the things I am blessed with is my ability to create. And I've had that since I was a child.
Yeah.
And have always done it. And I'm grateful for it because I lose time when I'm stressed out or when things are, you know, very difficult. It's something I turn to and it just calms me.
Yeah.
So it's something I'm extremely grateful to. And then I thought of all the different ways that people have told me that they were grateful for the art that I created.
Yeah.
And people will say they'll hang it and they'll have... they'll spend their coffee hour with it in the morning to start their day.
That's Lori Kusick. She is the current reigning champion of the Art in the Plaza contest. We're going to come back to her. Jennifer, I'd like to turn to you now. Jennifer Staubach-Gates, the theme of this year's competition, Expression of Hope. And last year, as we mentioned, Expression of Gratitude. And you, as I understand, were part of the committee that came up with the theme. And so how did y'all come up with this particular theme for this year?
Well, I think we go into it wanting to choose a theme that is going to allow for the artists to still be use their expression and imagination. We don't want it to be limiting. And we want, I think we wanted a positive note. I mean, mm-hmm. we had such great response last year with Expression of Hope. We didn't want to repeat the theme, but we wanted it to reflect a positive feel and something that we all could be proud of in this public setting. So I think we looked at a few options and this just kind of bubbled to the top that the expression of this year's competition, I mean, was going to allow for, you know, just a not limit artist. And there's just going to be a wide range of possible interpretations and really encourage imagination.
Yes.
So we're excited. I mean, it's, I think in the beginning they didn't have themes initially. Mm-hmm. And I think this is just kind of allowed for a little bit of comparison and a little bit of ability as judges to see, you know, it, what, how, another element to judge on is the art expressing this year's theme. And communicating that.
Yeah, and I would imagine that might make it a little bit easier. Like you say, if it's wide open, they don't really know where to go with it. But at least you give them something to kind of, you know, pinpoint. And yeah, I may have gotten those. Okay, Expression of Hope was last year. Expression of Gratitude is this year. So thank you for that. Right. Expression of Gratitude. I've got to make sure these artists know what they're painting. So Expression of Gratitude for this year's theme. All right, Grania.
I think you have it right. It's written that way, but it's actually the opposite.
Last year
was gratitude. This year is
hope. Okay. Expression of Hope is this
year. I think Expression of Harmony. I'm sorry.
That's right.
Harmony is this year.
Yeah. I'm glad you're here, Grania.
Okay, so I'm glad we're all harmonizing on that one there, right?
Yeah.
well, Grania, thank you for making that. Okay, so the art does not have to be specifically religious in nature, but maybe you can comment about that connection between spirituality and art, and whether the whole art's in the eyes of the beholder. So comment on that if you would.
I'm glad you asked that question, because it's also not just for Catholic art. So all art is welcome. All backgrounds, all religions are welcome to submit a work of art. I do believe personally that art and spirituality are very closely related, and art can serve as a means of expressing spiritual beliefs, expressing experiences. Engaging in art can invite deeper emotional and spiritual connections, allowing people to explore themselves and their relationship with the divine. So I would say that any really good artwork, it's already got that spiritual element, and it's bringing something out for the viewer. Like Jennifer said, there's no limits for artists. You know, use your imagination. And I believe that any work that will be chosen will automatically have that spiritual piece. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, certainly. Well, thank you. And I want to talk about the approach. You know, there are some rules that it can't be computer generated, it can't be photography. And going back to Lori Kusick, who's the reigning, her art piece is being displayed right now. I hope I pronounce this right. You have what's called a plain art approach, a practice of painting outdoors that offers artists a better ability to see light and colors in a scene since they are on location. Talk about that, and what would be your advice be as far as the approach that artists that are considering this year should do?
Well, it's actually plein air, and it's, of course, French. but that it's just fancy words for actually painting on location and painting from life.
Okay.
Painting outdoors from life. I do it because it is my cathedral.
Yeah.
You know, I use it because it offers all the gifts of inspiration to me. And I see colors and light when I'm out there, and I try to capture that. And the piece that I did was actually based on a piece that I did on location in Pennsylvania. And then I came back and used it as inspiration for the piece that I did for the Catholic Foundation.
All right. Thank you. So plein air, is that right? Plein air. Okay. So this is a very international angle on this. We got somebody from Dublin. We're using French words. I mean, this is pretty cool. Jennifer Staubach-Gates, here, one of the judges as well. Let's talk about the incentives for people to do this. The $5,000, of course, is pretty good incentive. Runner-ups get $500. But perhaps, having your art on display for a year in downtown Dallas, 28-foot by 9-foot wall is a big incentive as well. Can you talk about those?
Well, obviously, it's nice to have a monetary value to the award, but I think the exposure to have it in such a prominent place in the Dallas Arts District, visitors are coming into that area daily behind the cathedral, and just in that location that is highly trafficked, being able to contribute, having a positive impact on the streetscapes of Dallas and having your art be part of our public art for this city, I think is an incredible privilege. It was when the idea was started by the Catholic Foundation, I think it was brilliant to be able to, you know, marry artists into this, you know, right into the arts district, and for us to be able to showcase an artist at this level and allow them to have this kind of exposure.
Mm-hmm.
And then to change, you know, not to have it, it's not a permanent exhibit. I mean, the art, there's always art there year round every year, but that art does change. And I think that's just, it's an incredible opportunity for artists to have exposure to, mm-hmm. you know, emerging artists,
yeah,
and as
yeah.
well as just patrons of the arts, and then those that are just find themselves in that plaza.
Yeah. I imagine being a judge has got to be tough, because I think there were over 50 entries last year, and I think every year it grows, and so hopefully there'll be many, but you're looking at all these. And Grania, this is your second year to be a judge. You came back, and tell us about the process, because obviously you're looking at the winner here that you ultimately chose last year. Mm-hmm. And as far as kind of how your mind works, which you look at these art pieces, what advice would you give for prospective artists?
Absolutely. So 3 years ago, I actually entered myself, and that was my first connection with this whole project and competition. And I entered as an amateur artist to try and raise some money for a charity. And then when I got to know the group and just fell in love with everybody there, I became a judge the following year.
Mm-hmm.
So in doing an entry myself, it was interesting because the most important thing is to actually get the size of the piece right.
Yeah.
Because the mural, it's a fixed measurement on the wall. So any artists that are thinking about participating, the first piece you got to work out is the canvas or the wood panel or whatnot that you're going to work on. And then we as judges have to think about how it's going to look when it's blown up on the wall, when it's enlarged. What is the message that it's giving in downtown Dallas in the Arts District? And how does it tie into the surroundings? So yesterday I was at the Dallas Symphony, Mahler's Resurrection, and I come out from a Sunday afternoon matinee, and then there's Laurie's Grateful Heart at sunrise. It was like the perfect finale to the symphony performance. So, you know, being in the Arts District, we'll also be looking at how it relates to the Arts District, to Dallas, to Guadalupe Cathedral, Catholic Foundation, all of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you for that. Laurie, this Bill provided me some information, kind of a sentimental backstory to you winning from last year, that you have a friend who, first of all, you were an honorable mention status previously. You've entered a number of times, as you mentioned, and you had a friend who has since passed away of cancer, who gave you some advice as far as this competition. Do you want to share what that advice was? And it might be beneficial to people who are listening right now who might be considering entering their art.
Well, she was one of my biggest advocates, and she was a writer. So she loved the idea of the Catholic Foundation. She was a Catholic herself. When she found out about the Catholic Foundation as a writer, she went and researched them. She was kind of aware of them, but she wasn't fully aware of them. And then the more she researched into the foundation, she's like, you have to get involved with them. You know, the work that they do is just fabulous. And then the combination of the art and the two together. And mm-hmm. she was with me when I got honorable mention. And she's like, we're going to win this. We're going because she would always help me with my writing of the, you have to yeah. write 200 words I think it's 200 words,
mm-hmm.
Kind of your, you know, what your inspiration is and what your work is all about. And she would always proofread mine, so I sounded like I knew the English language. And But as she got sicker and sicker, she's like, "Don't worry, you got this." You know.
Oh, well, that,
I've taught you. I've taught you well. You can do it on your own now. And
yeah.
So when I did, when I knew she was. You know,
interceding for you, right? Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah. That's a beautiful backstory. Yeah. And that's well, thanks for sharing that. Jennifer, Lori mentioned about the 200-word, essay or description. Talk about that and, what the importance that is in you as a judge, and also maybe any advice that you might give to people who are listening right now who may be considering this. And just kind of want to reiterate the expression of harmony. Harmony, the theme.
Right.
Expression of harmony. I want to make sure they don't write on the expression of hope, but expression of harmony, the theme. But what advice would you say about this?
Well, I would say, most importantly, the art itself and how the art speaks to the judges, I think, mm-hmm. is our kind of number one criteria. How we see, we talk a lot about how it's going to go from, the smaller the smaller piece of art to the mural itself, and how that's going to translate, and that's really important. And then how it's going to be received in the space, which is in the Arts District and downtown and with the cathedral. So I think those are most important. I think where the little essay falls into play, it's kind of the closure. Mm-hmm. It actually allows the artist to communicate to the judges how they utilize the theme, how they're interpreting their art as an expression of harmony. And so I think it's kind of the cherry on the top. I think it's the art itself that speaks to us first. And then when we narrow it down, and then we can hear the great explanation of how this relates back to the theme from the artist's perspective, I think that'll be like, it all makes sense. And, it might put you over to the winning edge.
Yeah.
But really, it's the art that speaks first,
yeah.
to all the judges. And mm-hmm. And it's kind of the cherry on the top if your little essay can articulate to all of us why it should be the winning piece.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for that. And I'm going to ask Grania the last official question, and then I'm just going to kind of open it up. I like to say that I don't like anybody leaving an interview saying, gosh, I wish you had asked me this. And so just kind of an open question for you, Jennifer or Lori, about anything you might want to add to this. But Grania, two years ago, the winning artist was Deborah Boschert, and her piece of art was called Looking Up. And she explained that it was helping people to do that, look up from their digital screens and take notice of what's going on around them. Okay, so that's how she explained. And then I'll never forget the year before that, Robert Opel. This guy, I remember interviewing him. And this guy was just, this guy was on fire. And he painted a giant monarch butterfly. Mm-hmm. And people would go there and have their picture taken, their arms spread out like a butterfly. And I just remember that was like larger than life that year. So if you want to comment on either of those, mm-hmm. or maybe your advice for somebody to make something really spectacular that's going to be potentially displayed there for a year in the Arts District, what would your comment be?
I love that Deborah Boschert called out looking up from digital screens.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like art is the opposite of all the digital media that we can engage in daily. With that in mind, and with the butterfly, I must say I'm a fan of the winning piece, in its expression of, gratitude this year, harmony next year, reflecting our lovely planet, our beautiful planet that God gave us, the animals, the birds, the trees. I love these sunrises. If you think of downtown there, when you walk out of the DSO and you're right beside the Wind Spirit, it's a concrete jungle everywhere you look.
Mm-hmm.
There's the beautiful Guadalupe architecture. But I, of course, everything will be considered, and it's in the hands of the artist. We can't wait to see how creative they are. Personally, I have found myself leaning towards themes that incorporate nature and the beautiful planet we live in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you for that. And I want to just give the most important details, and then just going to kind of open it up. I am curious if with Liu Lori, but how life maybe has changed since you won, and any doors that might have been open. I'm just curious about that. But the Art in the Plaza competition, 20th annual competition sponsored by the Catholic Foundation. The most important thing is the deadline. deadline is September 10th. Okay, you can look at all the rules of eligibility. You have to be 18 years or older. You got to live in Texas to be eligible. The theme is expression of harmony, and submissions should represent the expression of gratitude and harmony. And so, but you can find all that. And there's a lot of details that I don't have time to get into, but CatholicFoundation.com, CatholicFoundation.com is the website. And I'm very grateful, Bill Kula, for setting this up and also having two of our judges, Grania Cella and Jennifer Staubach Gates, with me, along with the winner, the reigning winner right now, Lori Kusick, with her piece of art, Grateful Heart on Earth Sunrise. So I'll just open it up. Anything else y'all would like to say as we close out this interview? Lori, anything else to, as somebody who's done it, who's won it, and has been runner-up and entered a number of times, anything else you want to say to people listening right now?
If you're an artist, enter.
Yeah.
It is one of the few, and they're very few, that is a no-fee enter competition. We spend a lot of money entering things, and it is to get recognition, to get PR. It's like good advertising for yourself. The foundation staff treats you like royalty. They're so fabulous. But the experience is just wonderful. And yeah. I would encourage them to go and see the space. Look online, see the past winners, see what has won in the past. So as in